Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
This show doesn't stink. It's awesome.
Hey! And a good Tuesday afternoon. If you missed it, about this time last hour, we got a surprise visit from Kansas City's morning news anchor, Will Starrett, in studio. And we had an impromptu, totally unplanned, that's what impromptu means, session of Jam or No Jam. You can check it out on the podcast if you missed it. Will was in exceptional form today.
As always.
Exceptional form.
Didn't miss a beat.
Did not.
Literally.
Yeah. Story here from the New York Post from the Aw Hell No file. Deflated, but not defeated. In a technique seemingly reserved for automobiles, Nepal airline passengers were forced to push their airplane after a popped tire stranded it on the tarmac, Dana Wright.
Push it?
Push the airplane.
Push it good?
A video of the airplane-esque scene boasts more than 800,000 views right now on TikTok. The surreal scenario occurred after a wheel allegedly burst. Why does it have to be alleged? A wheel burst on a Terra Air jet that had just landed at Bajura Airport in Humla, the Indian Express reported. As a result, the lightweight twin otter aircraft was left stranded in the middle of the runway, preventing other airplanes from departing. The facility lacked the tools to...
Okay.
No,
push it. Push it real good.
Passenger.
It's an airplane. It's heavy.
Okay. Passengers and security personnel had to come together to resolve the situation. It resulted in a 20-minute push.
And a dance break.
Down the runway.
Ooh, baby, baby. That song.
From Fox 4, the University of Kansas is pausing its COVID vaccine mandate for all employees.
You should not pause the mask mandate for the reasons I just mentioned. If you were catching this on podcast, the flu is back. As I told that story, Scott, it blew through my daughter's entire house last week. My son got it yesterday. And then my dear friend Sandra Olivas just texted me that her daughter and her roommate are down with it today. Mm. All of the COVID tests are negative. The flu tests are positive. It is back. And I talked to my pharmacist about it today. I said, how bad is it going to be? What you have to remember is we had almost no cases last year because of the coronavirus, the lockdown, and masking. Like a couple of thousand cases.
Yeah,
unheard of.
People were more careful.
We usually have thousands and thousands of deaths. The flu is back, people. Wash your hands.
Brooke Shields is slamming Barbara Walters over a 40-year-old interview that she did back in 1981, in which Barbara Walters asked the then 15-year-old a series of invasive questions about her personal life. Brooke Shields was, I believe, 15 years old at the time. Shields, who is now 56, reflected on the intense sit-down yesterday, bluntly stating regarding the interview that Barbara Walters did with her, it was practically criminal. The interview with Walters took place months after the teenage Shields starred in a controversial Calvin Klein campaign.
Yeah, no one gets between me and my Calvins.
Nothing, yeah. You want to know what comes between me and my Calvins? Nothing. Walters interrogated Shields on camera as she sat with her mother, Terry. What are your measurements? Walters asked an uncomfortable-looking Shields. Can you imagine that today?
No.
A journalist asking a 15-year-old girl, what are your measurements?
What else did she ask? And then I have a but, however.
Would you be a mother like your mother?
No, because her mother should have been in prison.
Do you have any secrets from your mother? By the way, her mother was sitting right next to her. And it was an interview that was going to be on television.
I understand Brooke Shields looking back at her career and saying she was put in situations she never should have been in. That line of questioning was inappropriate. She was 15. However, and this is a huge however, when Brooke Shields was 12 years old, she played a child prostitute in the film Pretty Baby. It was in 1978. One night, I was flipping around because I had always heard that this was very controversial, that she was 12 years old and in this film, Susan Sarandon plays the madam.
Yeah.
And I'm flipping around one night a couple years ago and I'm like, oh my gosh, there's Pretty Baby. I've always heard that this is like, I don't know, was weird and like, how did they allow her to do this? I cannot overstate how illegal. I'm not saying it's controversial, Scott. That film, people should have gone to prison for
really?
Her role in that film. She was 12 years old. She is shown naked.
Oh.
And they do not even gloss over the fact.
Where did you see this?
On like AMC one night, like the old movie channel. And I was watching it thinking, how in God's name was this film ever made?
Much less put on TV in 2021.
It is child pornography, period.
Huh.
The entire show is set in a brothel.
Okay.
Her mother plays like the madam of the brothel. And there is a scene, Scott, where they auction off Brooke Shields to the local men of note in the town. Like the lawyers and the judges and the doctors.
Okay, but they didn't do that in real life. That's part of the...
It was portrayed in a way that should have been criminal. So should Barbara Walters like probably apologize for that line of questioning? Yes. I don't know how Brooke Shields' parents weren't jailed for putting her in that film.
Well, her being naked in the film is inappropriate on any level. And the fact that some network put it back on TV
it is.
But her as a 12-year-old actress or actor doing things on film that in real life would be considered illegal. I don't see the problem with that necessarily, as long as she's clothed.
She was not.
Okay. I mean, any more than it would be illegal for you to kill somebody in a movie. Murder is a crime, but it's not when it's on a film.
Ooh, I'm going to have to disagree with you on that. Because she was a 12-year-old playing a 12-year-old. I mean, I remember saying, like, how was this ever even allowed to happen?
I understand. It's probably not something that we'll be watching in our home.
No.
But if she is an actor portraying someone who is a 12-year-old hooker, but there's no actual sex per se, that's not a crime any more than Brad Pitt opening up a box with a head in it should result in murder charges against somebody.
What's in the box?
Yeah, sorry. Spoiler alert.
And I don't know. I need to look up how old was she in Blue Lagoon, which is one of those movies. It was in 1980, and I remember my parents would not let
me would have been 14.
Watch it. Listen to this. Shields later testified before a United States congressional inquiry that older body doubles were used in some of the scenes because the Film Association initially rated Endless Love with an X rating and then edited it to earn an R rating. Was she 14? I'm trying to look. Because that's another one that is just like, whoa.
In 1980, she would have been 14, yeah.
I don't know, as an adult, how you would look back and ask your mom, how did you put me in that situation?
Two words, kuh and ching.
I know it.
Kuh, ching.
That was the complete sexualization of a prepubescent child.
True.
Her career.
True, but
what comes in between me and my Calvins? You know what that means.
Yeah, of course I do. But the portrayal of a crime in cinema does not equate to an actual crime. I mean, my God, Bruce Willis should be brought up on murder charges for the rest of his life.
Shields, her mother, and photographer Gary Gross and Playboy Press were involved in litigation in New York over the rights to photographs her mother had signed away to Gross when a set of nude images were taken in 1975 of the then 10-year-old Brooke Shields with the consent of her mother for the Playboy Press publication of Sugar and Spice. The images portray Shields nude, sitting in a bathtub, wearing makeup and covered in oil. She was 10.
Yeah, that's totally it.
Again, I ask, how was her mother not put away?
Fair question. All right, 576-7798. When we get back.
Yeah, we're going to switch gears. We've got some Chiefs news to bring you when we come back, and also how you can give a goat, a real goat, with a swipe of a credit card and a vending machine that you're going to start seeing all over town.
Get to that in just a moment here on Dana and Parks.
Carry on, my wayward son. There'll be peace when you are done. Lay your weary head to rest. Don't you cry no more.
This is quick Chiefs news here real quick. This is from Channel 9. It is one of the NFL's highest honors, the Walter Payton NFL Man of the Year Award. And the Kansas City Chiefs announcing today Tyrann Mathieu is the team's nominee for the Walter Payton Man of the Year. The Honey Badger will join 31 other candidates, one from each NFL team, to be considered for the honor. It will be announced later this season.
Bit of a Chiefs connection to our next story, and we are thrilled to bring in the co-chair of Giving Machines KC to the Dana and Parks program. I saw this on Channel 9 the other night, and I thought, what a great idea, and I wanted to know more. It's a really easy way to give to the charity of your choice through a vending machine. And Terry Beard with Giving Machines KC joins us now. Terry, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you. It's my pleasure.
So people can find these in Crown Center, correct?
Correct. Right below the ice terrace on Crown Center Square.
So items start around $5 and go up to $300. And what I love about the vending machine, giving machine, is that 100% of your money goes to the charity. And you can even buy a chicken or a goat to help families around the world. Tell people what some of the items are and how it works.
Okay, so like you said, if you buy something for one of the global charities, it might be a chicken, it might be a goat, it might be a pig, and it would go to a developing country to help a family there. However, we have four charities that are local, and you might buy hat and gloves for the winter, you might buy underwear, you might buy a meal for a week to help some of these local charities that we are supporting this particular year.
How did you pick the charities that were to be featured in the vending machine?
Right, so there was a committee, and we analyzed and took a look at some of the charities that were interested in being involved. We wanted to make sure that we had charities that were known for using their money wisely.
Yeah.
We also wanted to have a good diverse group of charities so that whatever might resonate with you, there would be something there for you to donate to.
So let me just name a few. Don Bosco Center is a great one that you can donate to. Hope House, which helps women get out of domestic violence situations. Operation Breakthrough, which does amazing work in Kansas City for women and children and families. Hope Faith Ministries is on there. And then you can also donate to two worldwide charities, Church World Service and UNHCR. And you can literally swipe your credit card, Terry, and send someone a chicken or a goat, which got my attention.
Oh, absolutely. And, it's kind of addictive. You swipe that credit card, you want to do it again. It's just wonderful to make giving so easy, especially in the holiday season like this.
Are there set amounts? Like if I picked Don Bosco, would it have to be a certain dollar figure if I picked one of the other charities, or can I choose if I swipe my card, but that's the charity I like? Can I say, well, I'm only got $15 and type in $15?
Well, actually, if you wanted to do that, you could go online to givingmachineskc.org and you can do an online donation like that. However, you just pick, there's a huge variety of what you could buy. You could buy maybe a warm heater, a space heater for someone.
Yeah.
for $30, or you could buy an upright walker for a senior citizen for $165.
One of the things I loved, Terry, is people are going to ask, are there fees, are there charges? Your church is actually covering the credit card fees, so it is truly 100% of your donation going to the charity that you choose.
Absolutely. The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints is covering all administrative costs and all credit card fees, so 100% goes to whatever charity you choose.
Are these around the world, Terry, or around the United States, or is this just a Kansas City thing?
Well, there's only 10 cities in the United States that have qualified for and have the giving machines, and we were very excited to be one of the cities chosen to be able to host the giving machines this year.
And I mentioned a Chiefs connection. Andy Reid even helped out with a promotional video for the giving machine. How did Coach Reid get involved in this?
Coach Reid is a member of our church and very generous with his time and a very giving person. He supports the Kansas City community, and he was excited to be able to take his grandkids to the giving machines and, of course, was willing to make a video and donate his time on that.
This is so cool. So these will be here until, what did you say, January 2nd, and then you guys will figure out how much money's been raised and make the announcement?
Right. The announcement will be made first part of February, I believe, once we figure out everything, you know, all the dust settles and everything, and we will make a presentation to the charities at that time. And the charities are very excited about this.
This is so cool. Terry Beard, co-chair of Giving Machines KC, thank you so much for your time. And we cannot wait to hear the amount that is raised. I want to show you a photo of what these looks like, Scott. They look like the Redbox machine.
Oh, they do, yeah.
It really looks a lot like the Redbox machine. They are even red. They are at Crown Center.
Crown Center, it's
right
under
there,
the ice.
Under the ice. It says Giving Machine. You go, you swipe, you give. And even Coach Reid is throwing his support behind this.
Him.
What a great idea.
All right, quick break for the news. She's Dana. He's Sam. My name is Scott. Don't forget, we did an impromptu jam or no jam today with Will Starrett. You can find it on the podcast. We did that at the beginning of the 4 o'clock hour today here on Dana and Parks. News is next.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL Draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
All right, welcome back from the Sun newspapers. Knew there was a reason. Taking Viagra slashes Alzheimer's risk by 2/3, according to new research. Scientists claim the love drug may help boost brain health and cut levels of toxic proteins that trigger dementia.
Wait.
Not going to say I didn't get a text about this from a certain somebody that I live with this morning, and I said, I'll never forget your name.
Wow. Ain't ever going to forget your name, babe.
Wait a minute. They're now saying that there is some type of correlation between Viagra use and a diminishing percentage of contracting Alzheimer's?
Yeah. Medical professionals say the findings, which are published in the journal Nature Aging, suggest the little blue pill could soon be prescribed to tackle dementia.
Oh.
Now,
hello.
That's good for Grandpa's brain health. But don't you go buying him any gray sweatpants for Christmas.
Has it been 4 hours?
The good news is his memory's coming back. The bad news is
something else keeps coming back.
Women at church are running. God, are you kidding me?
I ain't sitting next to Luther at church. Ain't no chance. I saw him last week, and he's crazy.
Peace be with you. No, I'm good.
like in church when they say stand up and shake the hand of the person. Do I gotta? Not right now, man. Wind's blowing.
What a checker. Wait,
you know,
what?
When I hit 50, my body went through a big change, and not for the better. Severe erectile dysfunction shattered my confidence, sent me into a depression, and almost ruined my marriage. And believe me, I tried everything. But then a friend told me about Zentrax, so I tried it. And it worked.
Zentrax is the strongest male enhancement drug on the market. It increases blood flow, boosts testosterone, and ends erectile dysfunction instantly.
So I asked my doctor about Zentrax, and he said, Zentrax? What the hell is Zentrax? And I said, Zentrax. It's the strongest male enhancement drug in the world, and it works. And he said he'd never heard of it. So I pulled up the Zentrax website and showed it to him. He started laughing. He said, are you insane, man? You can't put that junk in your body. It'll kill you. Your heart will stop. Rhino horn? Ammonia hydroxide? That's what's in meth, right?
Zentrax is made strong enough to work on the most extreme cases of erectile dysfunction. And fast.
My doctor asked me, where'd you even hear about that? And I told him, a friend. And he said, well, what's his name? And I said, well, I don't really know him, actually. And he says, but you just said he's your friend. So I told my doctor, look, let's just forget about him and just write me a script for Zentrax, and I'll be on my way.
Hail Satan. Wait, go to the party. Keep playing it when he talks about it.
People notice.
People cross the street.
Today.
It works.
The best part of that was when I wear gray sweatpants,
I love The Rock.
Cross the street.
I cannot believe I just said that, but I love The Rock. He makes me laugh.
Those are just the side effects they tell you about. I get the sweats, my bones are cold, my teeth are loose, my heart gets really, really hot. I could read minds. And sometimes I wake up driving a stolen car. And my erections are fantastic. When I wear gray sweatpants, people cross the street. Which is fine. Zentrax gave
me Which is fine?
Which is fine. That's my favorite part. People cross the street, which is fine.
Can you imagine working in a memory care unit today and you hear that news?
No.
That there's this new experiment. We're going to try.
No.
Oh, let's find another option, shall we?
Is there any way we can just extract the one thing from it that works for dementia, please? Former Empire star Jussie Smollett finished testifying in his own defense today in his alleged bogus race hate case. But not before getting combative with prosecutors over the night he claims that he was assaulted. The actor, who's now 39, apparently lost his cool and got testy on the stand today when he was questioned by Special Prosecutor Dan Webb about some of his private messages on Instagram with one of his attackers known as Bola, one of the men he allegedly paid to orchestrate the hoax in January 2019. Mr. Webb, with all due respect, you do not understand Instagram. Smollett snapped at the prosecutor.
Probably true.
Webb shot back, look at me. I'm older. I tell you right now, I do not understand Instagram. I'm asking you if the messages I'm about to show you are between Bola and you. Smollett insisted that the prosecution was not correctly portraying the conversation by not showing that the messages were in response.
He's saying, Scott, in one of the messages, there's like an exchange. Like it said, hey, I need to talk to you about something on the down low. And his defense attorneys are saying he was not talking about staging a fake hate crime. He was talking about wanting to get his hands on some steroids so he could work out and be buffer before his movie.
But that was code for something
else. Yeah, that I want to talk to you on the down low. Well, yeah, I did want to talk to him on the down low, but not about staging a hate crime. I was looking for steroids.
I'm still confused on how that aspect even matters, considering he already admitted that he knew these people and it wasn't a hate crime.
Shiny object.
And he tried to tell
it's a shiny object, Sam. It is, look over here. Look over here.
Okay, I've already admitted that I'm guilty, but can we focus on that other thing that,
yes,
that doesn't
because
say I'm
all
guilty?
They need is reasonable doubt in one juror's mind.
Well, but then you just retry him and he's out more money. But,
I mean, the money and the resources that have been wasted. That's why Chicago was so ticked off. Number one, it made their city look horrible. Number two, they spent how many thousands of man hours on this, Scott?
It
was a jaw-dropping amount of man hours spent trying to figure out what, quote, happened to this actor.
When he was, nobody threw bleach on him.
No.
Nobody was wearing MAGA hats. I mean,
there's no way they retry this. just go away. Just go away.
Story here from CNN. This one's out of France. Interesting story here. A climber who found a trove of precious stones on Mont Blanc has been given half of the $168,000 haul to keep after authorities could not find the original owner. So this guy's up on Mont Blanc in France. He's a climber on Mont Blanc. And he finds these precious stones. They're beautiful. They had a picture of them online. Beautiful emeralds and sapphires. Okay?
Just randomly hanging out on a mountain.
Well, no, they were in a bag. They were in a bag. And they were valued at $168,000.
Okay.
Okay, 150,000 euros. The authorities in France went looking for the rightful owners. Could not find who that person was. So he gets to keep half.
Half. Why not all of them?
The other half goes to the local government.
Oh, please.
It does. Listen here.
Why?
Gem experts divided the haul equally between the climber and the local city council, with each getting about $84,000 worth of precious stone.
Do you know why the stones are up there? Did you read this? It was a plane crash, Scott. 50 years after a plane went down,
killing 117 people.
Oh, God, killing 117 people. These have been found. This is just part of the debris from that plane crash. Two Air India planes crashed into Mont Blanc, one in 1950 and one in 1966. God, who the hell's the pilot? Over the years, climbers have routinely found debris, baggage, and human remains from the two aircraft. Because I'm guessing as it's so remote and so high up there, they weren't able to bring everything back down.
If I had to guess, it wasn't the same pilot.
Thank you, Sam.
Thank you, Sam. Thank you for clarifying.
You asked who the pilot was.
How do two planes, both from Air India, crash into the same mountain a few years apart? That's what I was asking. It's not a plane or an airline I would use again. That was my point.
No, every airliner from India should avoid Mont Blanc. By the way, the plane that was shot down, the one in 1966, where they think these stones were being carried on, also happened to carry on that flight as a passenger, the father of India's nuclear industry. So they think it may have been shot down.
Oh, God. Human remains found from that area as recently as 2017 are believed to come from the 1966 crash or that of the other plane, which came down in 1950. He should get to keep all of it.
I think so, too.
Although,
I wouldn't have reported it.
Technically, it doesn't belong to him, I suppose.
Does it belong to anyone? Finders keepers on that one, right?
But when it comes to plane debris,
how do you know it was on that plane? Maybe that was from a hiker who, what?
Right, who just dropped a bag of rubies randomly hiking.
Maybe. I always walk around with about $150,000 worth of sapphire and emeralds in my pocket.
I'm going to change my mind on this. I think he should be happy with half. Because any other time, like in the United States anyway, when a plane crashes, that debris field becomes the property of the United States government. It becomes the crime scene of the United States government. You can't just walk over and say, look, somebody's luggage.
Fair point.
Also, how do you not tell anybody about that and then go about selling it? I mean, it would be pretty weird that you all of a sudden have a bag full of emeralds.
Well, yeah, but when I'm going to sell it to you, the gem dealer that you are, I don't walk in with a whole bag and say, hey, look what I got here. I go in with, maybe a third of it or a quarter of it. And I mean, they're not the only emeralds and sapphires on the planet.
The flight, by the way, that crashed was en route from Mumbai to New York. I don't remember that one.
Probably because it was before you were born.
Well, I know, but usually with these, two in one mountain, that I would have remembered that detail.
Who was the pilot?
Okay.
Plural.
576-7798. She's Dana. He's Sam. I'm Scott here on KMBZ.
I'm down on my knees. I wanna take you there. Give me a
sinners. Swing! Story here that just cleared on the Kansas City Star.
Welcome.
Kansas City residents may need to repent for their sins for this New Year's resolution. Wallet Hub recently compared 182 cities in the United States using 37 key indicators of evil deeds.
So they're not good.
Discovering that Kansas City ranked 24th most sinning city in the nation. That might seem low if you've been around Westport of the Power and Light District on a Saturday night, writes the Kansas City Star.
Let me give you an example of one of the ways we topped the list at the sinning metric, okay?
Okay.
Laziness, that's one. Sloth, including the share of adults who don't exercise and the average daily time Kansas Cityans watch TV.
They also looked at greed, taking into account the number of casinos per capita and charitable donations as part of individuals' income.
Yep, they hit us up for lust, measuring Google search interests in adult entertainment and adult entertainment establishments per capita.
Hmm. They also looked at anger and hatred. And let me just say this. That is where we ranked the highest.
Which means the worst, by the way.
Correct. We came in fifth.
The worst.
Which I find surprising.
I don't, because deaths due to firearms is their metric.
Okay. Anger and hatred, Kansas City ranked fifth. We ranked 16th on their metric of jealousy.
Wait, why did death due to firearms qualify for anger and hatred?
Well, you'd have because to be pretty angry at somebody to shoot them, wouldn't you?
We cannot peacefully resolve conflict in our town. People are more likely than in other cities to pick up a gun and shoot each other over an argument. And that's from the police chief, the mayor, and rank and file. We are a town of firearms.
But we are in, I'm not going to say better company. We did better than Wichita in sinfulness. Wichita okay. came in at 22.
Wichita likes their Pornhub.
We set the bar low.
Overland Park did really well, and I don't mean in a bad way. I mean in a good way, finishing 134th.
Okay, good. They're less lazy, less lustful.
Well, less sinful.
Greed is one of them that we got dinged for, taking into account casinos per capita and charitable donations as part of income.
Yep.
And then excesses and vices, which was a metric of excessive drinking and adult coffee drinks sold as part of the scale.
What's wrong with an adult coffee drink?
I don't know. I don't think there's anything wrong
with
it.
So you go to Starbucks because you that's sinful, going to Starbucks?
I don't think that's the
adult coffee drink. Like, you can go to how many places and get Bailey's in your coffee.
I see what you mean. Okay. Yeah. All right. Interesting story here. Sylvester Stallone is set to star in a new TV series. He is going to portray a mafia leader from New York, a New York mobster who relocates to Kansas City. Now, before you go, why Stallone? Give me a break. This TV drama, this new scripted TV drama, comes from the creator of Yellowstone.
Wow.
According to Deadline, which broke the news, Kansas City is set in the present day and follows Sal, that's Stallone's character, Sal, a New York mobster who moves to Kansas City, where he is faced with the startling task of reestablishing his Italian mafia family to the modernized, straight-shooting town of Kansas City.
Now, before you get all excited, I will remind you that Ozark, one of the most popular shows to hit television in years, was not filmed in the Ozarks. It was filmed in Georgia.
Shooting on Kansas City. That's the name of the TV series that Sylvester Stallone's going to be in. It's called Kansas City. Has not started yet. There is not word yet if any scenes will be filmed in the city that gives the show the name. However, like you mentioned, Dana, the Star's story does point out very few TV shows and movies are actually set in Kansas City.
Because of incentives elsewhere. Wouldn't you think it would be much cheaper to shoot here than it would be even in Atlanta? And here's the other one I forgot. The recent fourth season in Fargo, which was allegedly around our town was never shot here. They shot it in Kansas City or in Chicago.
They point out producers often seek better financial incentives in other cities. And you're right. The Four Seasons.
How is it? I want some, we might come back to this later. Why would it be cheaper to shoot a film about Kansas City in Chicago?
Tax incentives?
Absolutely no sense to me.
Well, like I said, they look for incentives. Now, what those incentives are, I do not know.
This says neither Kansas nor Missouri currently have programs that provide financial incentives to movie and television production teams. Maybe we need to change that.
All right, we'll get into this tomorrow, maybe.
I want to. I want to see Sylvester Stallone walking around our town.
Maybe we'll get somebody from the Kansas City Film Office on the phone.
We're too sinful, sorry.
We got to run, everybody. Have a great night. Don't forget, anything you miss, you can always find on podcast at kmbz.com. On behalf of our producer today, he is the finest man in all of America, the great Sam Stevie III. My good friend and co-host Dana Wright, I am Scott Parks, and God willing, we're back tomorrow at 2 o'clock. Have a great night. Be safe, be well, and be good. We'll see you tomorrow.
With this new song. But
bye.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at kmbz.com.
Baseball is back. Basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.